Hello everyone and welcome on the very first episode of Underexposed. I am very excited to be doing this project and even more excited about my guests of today. Youssef is one of those people who have a very clear artistic vision. He turns everything and every situation into an art project. His imagination is extremely wide and his pictures are very colorful and full of life. I feel like they definitely represent who he is as a person. During one of our too many conversations about photography, Youssef said something to me that I will never forget. And I know all of you Potterheads out there are gonna appreciate this analogy he made. He said that pictures are kind of like Horcruxes. So when we take a photograph, it's like we're hiding a part of our soul in it. And I think this is such an interesting and beautiful way to view photography. Not only are we storing a memory in a moment we want to always remember and freeze in time, but when you're passionate about photography, every picture means quite a huge deal to you. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Youssef Sibti on the first episode of Underexposed. Hello Youssef, and thank you so much for agreeing to be on the podcast. First of all, I have to give you credit for agreeing to be on my very first episode when I probably have no idea what I'm doing. So thanks a lot, and please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, first, I have to say that I'm very happy. It's a huge honor and pleasure to be in this first podcast with Oussama Hijaj.
The pleasure is ours, Youssef.
We hope that this podcast is going to be the first for a lot of ones coming that are going to be very successful.
Thank you, Youssef.
Well, I'm Youssef Sibti. I'm 19 years old and I'm passionate with photography, and I really love everything that is related with visuals, cinema, even like photography, which is my main interest.
Yeah. But,
I'm actually a student in biology. Yes, I do love science, but also arts, and one of the biggest aspects of myself is that I don't let the two things get me confused. I love both, and I'm not going to go beyond that.
That is so cool. A lot of people actually have a career in something completely different from what they're passionate about on the side. So a lot of people are working on some, I don't know, in cinema or make music or...
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. I think people are not meant for one thing. People are so many things at once.
Exactly. You can have so many different interests at the same time. So do you remember how you got into photography in the first place? Like, was there a certain moment you noticed you had a special interest for photography in your life?
I think my family album can say that it came from my parents. How... I think that when I was from a very young age, I saw my parents, my grandfather, taking a lot of pictures, capturing the moment every time, whenever we had a birthday, family gathering, you know. I think it's the thing for every Moroccan family. That was very intense with my family.
Even in my family, yeah. For example, when I go back through the childhood albums, I find so many pictures. It's just a huge album.
Exactly, that's characteristic of Moroccans.
So do you remember your first camera?
Actually, I was using my dad's camera. It was like those compacts, you know. I think it was, the one we use for holidays. They took like decent pictures. That we could print.
Is it like a point and shoot or?
But that was actually a compact one, a Nikon, you know, with flash.
Oh yeah.
It was digital. So that's... Sorry, digital.
Okay, so you're not talking about a film camera. So it's one.
No.
Okay, I see.
Yes. But most of the pictures that I've seen were taken on film. Especially the ones before I was born, you know, they inspired me.
Yeah, well, that makes sense because I think back in the days, well, they didn't have digital cameras. So.
That's only what they had.
Yeah. And you said that it inspired you. Why is that?
I think looking at those pictures and seeing the vibe, how it's grainy and vivid, and seeing people I loved but years before I was born, like it made me felt like I was there, but really not there, you know?
Yeah.
It created some kind of feeling in me.
That is really nice. And I also get the vibe from your pictures that they're all very melancholic and kind of longing to the past. And also, if like anyone who knows Yusuf knows that he's a very passionate person about the 80s culture, for example. You're very into that. And whether we're talking about fashion, movies, or music, you really do rock that vintage style, and it shows on your pictures as well. Does that factor into your photography aesthetic as well and your tastes?
Yeah, I think it's all related. Like, if I have to speak about this, I think I was very influenced by the vibes that my parents had, and even from the music. And I did my research. I had to see the movies. I had to, like, you know, even sometimes my parents were like suggesting me, because they were like, "Oh, okay, you're really into this, so why not suggest you?" And it only went further and further.
Wow.
And it was the whole thing.
And what is it exactly that fascinates you about this culture and this era?
I think it was, first it was like the unisex clothes. Mm-hmm. I have to admit that people were very open-minded considering clothes.
That's true.
And so that's the first thing we see, that's appearance. Like when we go out,
yeah,
we think of clothes. And that's the most stuff that that are like related to that era. Because when we take a picture, maybe the place won't change. Maybe the haircuts are near the style now, but the clothes were very specific of an era. You know?
That is definitely true, and we can also see nowadays a lot of people are shifting from the modern style and fashion to a vintage kind of style. A lot of people love going thrifting and buying clothes or borrowing clothes from their grandparents or their parents. That is amazing and fascinating to see a lot of people passionate about this, you know, this old...
I think you've seen that in France.
No, definitely, yeah. And I think it's a European thing, and also it's happening in the States, and it's an all over the world movement in a way.
Yeah.
And now
I think it just came the last 2 years. It started in Morocco.
No, definitely. And I wanted to talk to you about that as well, because I lived in Morocco my entire life, and I didn't move to France until I graduated high school. But at the same time, when I look back now, I think there's a huge change in the way people think and the things that people are interested in. So, for example, when I was in high school, there wasn't as much interest in photography as much as there is now. And you just graduated high school 2 years ago. Can you tell us a little bit how, in your entourage, like how much people are interested in such things, and, you know, in arts, in visual arts and photography?
I think one of the factors that made me able to take pictures of people is that even in my entourage, people were aware that there was a photography movement happening.
Yeah.
So they were like, yeah, he's taking pictures of me. There's no harm about it. Maybe I'm going to enjoy it too. Like, people were known that there was a lot of people taking pictures for art. It wasn't anything else than that.
Yeah.
So I had a very, like, first it was my best friend Anwar that I met 2 years ago, no, 3 years ago, yes, in my last year of high school. Uh-huh. And I was like very fond of film photography, but he was the one who introduced me to the actual techniques of producing it, not just enjoy watching it or consuming it.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, and we've talked about film photography before, and you told me that you shot film before, and you told me how it's there's a huge struggle in Morocco to find rolls of films, for example, or to find labs that still develop that kind of photography. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience, how your friend got you into, you know, that movement in photography?
Well, first, when he started showing me all that stuff, he was like discovering it too. So we decided to discover it together, and we had like, right now we have the internet to have a lot of information about how to make film, how to develop it, etc., etc. But like deep in it, we can say that the sensitivity of the whole project doesn't get like you can't learn it. It's something you develop by yourself.
Definitely, it's a lot of skills to develop over time.
Yeah. The conclusion we got to is that there's two aspects of film photography, like the techniques part of meticulous and to be patient and to not destroy the film, uh-huh. the role to be careful. It was like a whole craft. And the other aspect of taking time to take a picture because you want a specific thing, you want a specific, especially when there are people that are moving, uh-huh. You know, like it's a whole work.
It's completely brilliant. I find it really fascinating that in this age of modernity and digitalization and a lot of a lot of technology and development, we still love that kind of that aspect of old long traditional process. Exactly, it's very entertaining, and I think that the more you're passionate about photography, the more you enjoy it. Personally, I love the thing I love the most about film photography is the waiting. Mm-hmm. So it takes forever from the moment you take the picture to the moment you get to see it. Well,
it creates an excitement.
Exactly, so. and the expectation just makes the results way better than, you know, when you take an instant picture and then you see it and you get to edit it right away. Mm. But yeah, and speaking of that, I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, but you use an iPhone to take your pictures, right?
Yes, exactly. I do have a film camera and another camera, Sony compact, but I usually make most of my pictures with my iPhone.
That is really cool. And can you tell us a little bit about that as well? Because, you know, a lot of people out there have a lot of talent and they're still a little bit hesitant to start shooting, for example, because they don't have the necessary gear or they don't have a good camera and they want to have a mm-hmm. special equipment to be able to, you know, show out their work. But then there's people like you who use, even though you have different cameras, but then you still make
stubborn people.
What do you think about that? And what do you say to those people?
I think as a stubborn person, I want just to make clear that I was the stubborn, not the
audience. No, I got that.
Well, as much as I can assure that having the best gear is only the best thing to get to, but in the end, when you're passionate about something and you see some beauty and you just can't stop yourself, you want to portray it, you want to make it seen in your own vision. Whatever you have on your hand, you just use it. Like, this is how I see it.
Because it's a moment that's gonna pass and then you want to freeze it in time and to, you know, to remember it afterwards. So yeah, that makes
I think photographers are philosophers that hate time.
Oh wow. That's some deep statements you're making here, Yusuf.
I think I went too far.
Okay, so now something that I find completely fascinating about your pictures is that we can tell they're yours without even looking at the name of the profile on Instagram. I think you succeeded in creating your, you know, your own personal touch and your own style so that your pictures are kind of easily recognizable, and at least to the people that know you and follow you. Can you tell us about your aesthetic and your taste? For example, how do you edit your pictures, or what is the result you want to achieve through that? What is the message you want to transfer to your, you know, to your followers?
I think the aesthetic I got to and the results I create are also related, and that's nice that you made this question after the previous one, because it's really related. It's the fact that I use this kind of gears, whatever I have in mm-hmm. hand, something like very amateur and common, like we say in French, dans le qui vive, you know, whatever you have. I think it's one of the factors that made me get to that kind of visuals. Like, it's very personal, it's familiar. And I have to admit that at first I didn't have any vision or a specific goal. Uh-huh. I think it just came out of the circumstances.
Yeah, so you just post and conditions. You make what you like and you want to share it with other people.
Then I realized that there was like some kind of pattern and I went following mm-hmm. it. So, and then my friends were like more into it. And sometimes I started taking pictures of strangers. And that's when I followed street photography. Uh-huh. You know, it's always genuine.
That is really brilliant. And I think that with photography, you learn every single day. Photography is just an unlimited field. You can never run out of creative ideas and there's so many things that you can try out and, you know, just experiment with yourself and with others.
You always think that you've done everything, but you always find new ways to reinvent your work.
Exactly. There's something really fun that I love doing, which is go back to my old pictures and just play around with them, change, you know, saturation and contrast and exposition and play with the colors. And I creates a completely different picture. And this is something that I love doing when I'm bored. And I'm always fascinated by, you know, what I get as a result. Do you ever do that?
Yes, I think the fact that you enjoy doing that only shows how much editing has like influences the whole picture. It's a major part of it. So yes, I do that too.
Definitely, it is a major part. It's such a fun process, to be honest. Like, because as much as a raw picture can be beautiful, there's always something that you can do to, you know, make it better or just change it to make it fit into a certain series or a certain vibe that you're working on.
Yeah, and sometimes you're just not satisfied and you say, okay, like fuck it, let's leave it. I don't know how to edit it. And the other day comes and you're like, whoa, I've never thought of it. I should have done that.
Exactly. And also there's something that I really love about pictures, which is some pictures are kind of ugly alone. And then when you put them together, they kind of just complement the one another and they look perfect as a, you know, as a group or as two pictures together. They look amazing that way. And you do that a lot because a lot of your posts are series. They're not like a one picture post. You post so many pictures together and they fit together as a story. That's something that you really know how to do.
Yeah, like I think that it can't be seen like something big, aesthetic, but it's just mostly because I'm pouring too much emotions to my pictures and I don't want to post just one. Like, no, they invented 10 way to post 10 pictures. I'm going to use that.
This is something that I love about your feed because it feels super personal. Like, your pictures are really good. The exposition, the editing is really nice. And then they also feel really personal and, you know, fun and as though you're just posting them out there because you want to have fun with it. And, you know, you're not being very serious about it. And that's something that we can feel through your pictures. And it's really something really, really nice.
And, I see them as I want to capture beauty and whatever it takes.
Well, I remember you said something to me once and I said it. Yes. I recorded it in the introduction of the episode that you haven't heard yet. But do you remember when you said to me that you think pictures are kind of like horcruxes and you put a part of your soul in it? In every picture that you take.
That I want to marry that person.
Well, I think you'd have to marry yourself then, because you said that to me and it stuck with me since, you know, the minute you said it. And it's it's something that I never thought about before. And then you said it and it just shows how attached you are to your pictures and how much you value,
It was the moonlight day, night.
You were the blue moon. You were feeling very inspired that night, probably.
Yeah, I remember now. Yes, that's the thing. I feel like life is like flowing. It's going out of control. And photography is here to make some kind of pose and to give value to a specific moment, not let it go just like that.
That is right. That is true. And that's really nice of you to say, because there's a growing scene of photography in Morocco, and I really am happy that there's people like you out there who are very passionate about
this.
There's
a lot of people now. There's like there's a huge diversity, like people who take pictures, in the rooftop of their. Yeah, that's it. It can be word now, like something that's going to be worldwide. The stuff,
and
because people being very creative with Moroccan specific traditional stuff and made it something to be seen in the worldwide vision.
That is true. A lot of people are using many different traditional, aesthetic places and objects. For example, there's a lot of people who are using traditional Moroccan clothes or, rugs or
food.
Yeah. So everything can be, turned into an object or a subject of photography. And that's really amazing. It's really, I feel really proud to see Moroccan culture, showcased around the world. Like we can talk about Muslim Rabat. We can talk about Hassan Hajjaj. You mentioned him when we were talking earlier. Yes.
And
L'Artiste is one of my favorite photographers of all time. He inspires me so much, and he's just brilliant, like absolutely.
Marrakech is the place to be.
Well, yeah, you didn't say that you live in Marrakech. I wanted to ask you because I know that you are from Agadir originally, but you moved to Marrakech, and Marrakech is such a dreamy city. A lot of people visit from around the world, and everyone talks about how magical it is and everything. So can you tell me a little bit about how it inspires you?
I have a funny story. I was in the film festival of cinema in Marrakech 1 year ago, and I heard a group of foreign journalists talking, and they were saying, they say Marrakech is the world, is like a Disney world of adults.
What?
Because there's a lot of it's a place where a lot of people got inspiration. And let's just talk about Yves Saint Laurent, in the 60s, yes, I remembered. Like, a lot of artists came in Marrakech because of the aesthetic.
No, definitely. It is a very inspiring city. And as we were saying before, a lot of Moroccan photographers are coming out of Marrakech, you included, are doing amazing work and, showcasing the beauty of our country and of the city and of our culture.
I think that I have to say that the walls in Marrakech are like a free studio for everyone, like a background.
That is true. I love how colorful it all gets and how inspiring it is to, it's very aesthetically pleasing and visually pleasing. You can just wander around and get inspired and get 1,000 ideas to take some kind of pictures or to shoot a video or a movie. And recently there's been a lot of music videos shot in Marrakech. I think Rylus directed one of his music videos there.
And there's a lot of galleries here. And the exact and when we talk about those galleries, most of them are now very open about showcasing these young photographers. Uh-huh. And they're like, I've seen a lot of expositions about especially Instagram photographers. Like it was written there, Instagram
photographers. Well, it is a huge movement going on right now. I also just read this article today about a Moroccan photographer who was published in the New York Times. And it's he's one of the Moroccan Instagram photographers as well. He has, an amazing style, and, he made it on an international scale. So this is amazing and very inspiring. And, it encourages other people to just, get out there and get out of their comfort zone and show their art.
Yeah, and we have to get really proud because we're getting into something really new. Like, we were always, even though I am very attached to with the 80s, like, I can be very happy. And I'm sure that this era we are living right now is having all the ingredients for the emergence of youth in Morocco.
Definitely.
Like, I'm sure in like 50 years, people are going to be nostalgic for our era, like we are for the 80s.
Yeah, no, definitely. There's a huge melancholic movement. I I think I've read a study about that during, you know, the huge success of, I don't know if you've watched the show, wait, what was it called? You know, the one where there's a bald girl called Eleven and, you know, it's a very 80s show. I literally, yeah, exactly. Stranger Things. I can't believe I forgot its name. But but yeah, I was saying that when that show was going places, you know, it's got a lot of attention. There was this study made about how people will always feel nostalgic to older generations and want to copy them when it comes to style, like fashion-wise, music. So I think you're right about what you were saying about how people in the future are definitely going to feel nostalgic about our time now, you know, what we think is very developed technology.
There are some moments in history where we don't see a lot of stuff happening. And in other moments, in the opposite, there's a lot of, like let's say, you know, when there's a lot of cars in the traffic, that's how it is. There's too much IDs, too much people, too much creativity. And that's what we are living now with photography. Especially in Morocco, like I think it happened in other countries, but it's just happening now.
And
for
it's such a wonderful time to be, you know, a young Moroccan aspiring photographer now, and you know, in Morocco or in the MENA region in general, because there's so many people trying to create different things, and one of them inspires the others. And I don't know, it's just like very, it feels very satisfying to me to be living during this time.
And I think that there's this kind of photographers, like we know most of them, like there's a community created, like people are talking, sharing ideas, making collaborations. I think support, like when photographers support each other, and like that's the best way to like confirm that there's no such thing as being jealous or being mean, petty. Like we all want to succeed, and
exactly.
The other succeeds.
Exactly,
with
and
us.
that is the purpose of arts in general, and that is why people create things. And you know, it's to share and encourage other people and push them out of their comfort zone to be, you know, to flourish and be the best version of themselves.
But I'll have to point out something, because it's not always just flowers and colors. There's like, you know, whenever there's something new, there's always some kind of people who just, I think they can kind of destroy the efforts of the people who became before them.
Yeah.
You know, like there's some stuff that are superficial, and when there's a lot of stuff happening, people are going to make false ideas, and cliches are going to like they're going to be created. They're going to be like, oh, those street photographers, there's only they're only taking whatever it takes. Like people get cynical because some others like they go like how to say they abuse the, it's abuse, you know, that they are abusing art because they just copy without taking the essence of stuff. And I wanted to mention that because this is very important.
No, you're definitely right. I mean, but like everything else in life, there's good and bad in everything. So yeah, there's always going to be people stealing other artists' ideas and work and not give them credit, etc. But at the same time, I think it's better to just focus on the positive side of things when it comes to this community, because I'm pretty sure that the good things outnumber the bad things, you know. So I think we've come to the end of our episodes. I would like to thank you so much for being here and giving me your time, and it's been a real pleasure discussing these topics with you.
Well, Osama, it was my pleasure to contribute to this podcast, and I'm very honored again to have been in your first one, and I really wish you all the success for the coming podcasts.
Thank you, Youssef, and thanks everyone for listening. If you've made it this far to the end of the episode, thanks a lot, and don't forget to tune in next weekend for another episode of Underexposed.